What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday, snow day part two. Hey, Claude, how you doing?
Hey, Jax. I'm so relaxed. And that's my haiku.
That's for you. Claudia, that's beautiful. It's been, you know, the same amount of time since I've seen you last, but I feel like yesterday was just one of those days that was so special and different.
I could not agree more. Like, probably the best Monday I've had in a while.
Probably the best Monday I've had ever in my life. Like, yesterday was just such an amazing day. Being back in the QE2, plus there was snow falling all day long. It was like the best day of quarantine for me ever. I did all of my quarantine things. I even got back on the Peloton. I had so much support from the toasters and the Pelotoasters. And it was just like a really productive but relaxing day.
Yes, me too. Like, it was from, you know, 8 a.m. to 12. I was super busy. Like, we did Toast. I was on like Canadian morning show. Global Morning Television. Check it out. And then after 12, it was just pure bliss. Like, we had a pot of chili on the stove. My lights were dimmed. My candles were flickering. I started to read a book. And it was so joyful. And then at around 7 o'clock, I had the chili for lunch. At around 7 o'clock, I had my virtual book signing with The Strand, where 220 toasters and I just, like, had the best time with Taylor Strecker. But I did ruin the evening slightly because I got a little drunk. And right before my signing, I said to Ben, okay, we'll have dinner right after the signing. So the chili was on the stove for most of the day without the heat on. But then I said, okay, we're going to eat an hour. I put it on low heat and was waiting, you know, till after the signing was over to have the chili with Ben. And I guess I missed it because during the signing, Ben ran into the kitchen and, like, put a flame out and the whole chili was ablaze. And the entire pot, my favorite pot, you know, the colorful ones, Le Creuset.
Le Creuset.
Literally, like, black all over the bottom. I've been scrubbing it since last night. I ruined everything.
Oh, my God. You ruined the chili. You ruined the pot. That is so upsetting. Like, what a bad ending to an otherwise great day.
Yeah, I'm really glad that I snuck some chili for lunch, or else I literally wouldn't have had any.
That is so sad. Speaking of cooking, I finally successfully made a successful cookbook dish that I actually enjoyed. I cooked from the Half-Baked Harvest cookbook, which so many people recommended that I get. And the cookbook is, like, really involved, and it's not beginner at all, but there was this meatballs recipe, and I love meatballs, and I happened to have some ground meat in my freezer and my fridge. So it was my first time cooking with meat in my house, and meat is just a crazy thing, you guys. Like,
I know.
Cooking, I'm sorry, I get, like, really
emotional?
Choked up. I get emotional when I talk about, like, cooking with meat because it's just so fucking weird, like, the feeling and the smell and, like, the touching and the handling. And it turned out so delicious, so it was all worth it. But there is something weird about it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely weird to, like, look down at a package of meat and just think, like, this was someone's child.
No. I mean, I can't even let myself go that far. Like, it's – I won't even think about why it's so weird. I'm just like, this is weird.
No, when you're at a restaurant and you get a piece of meat that, like, is reflective of the meat's natural state, do you know what I mean? Like, I got...
I don't order things like that.
After the Redheads, I got, like, a roast chicken, and they just, like, really left the chicken, like, laying out on the plate, like, in the same position that he, like, died.
So kind of disrespectfully.
Yeah, no, like, have some respect for the dead. And sometimes eating meat like that, like, really makes me nauseous, because it's really easy to visualize, like, this bird alive.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, you couldn't envision my meatballs alive. You really couldn't.
That's good.
And they were so good. I felt so proud of myself because I was like one cooking failure away from throwing in the towel completely. So yeah. Zach was really impressed. But like it serves 4 to 6. I have so many extra meatballs in my fridge, but I'll be eating meatballs all day today.
Woohoo. I love meatballs.
I mean, they're one of my favorite food groups. So that was really, it was just like such a nice day. Also, I spent most of my day reading the book for the Redheads, which is so good. And it was just like, it was just a nice day. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't expecting to read a full book either, but I finished Verity last night.
You finished it?
Such an easy read.
Mm-hmm.
And so unexpected. Like, I know Colleen Hoover is, like, Margot's favorite author. So I just assumed it would be, like, a Nicholas Sparks type of book. And it was not, like, at
all.
Well,
that's what Colleen Hoover usually does. But she's written a few books now, Verity and also Layla, where she strays from her usual thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody loves Verity. I mean, so many toasters, redheads, like, everybody has read Verity, talked about Verity. With that, I mean, I'm about to spoil it, so just skip a few minutes if you haven't read it and you want to. But what do you think about the end? What do you think the truth is?
Okay, so first of all, I agree. Like, this is a book, much unlike John Krasinski, I understand the hype. Like, it was a very, very good book. And when all the hype with Daisy Jones and the Six, I was like, oh, I cannot take recommendations from the masses anymore because everyone liked Daisy Jones and I thought it was terrible. But Verity really withstood the hype. And what do I think about the ending? I do think that that woman was nuts and that even that letter was a big lie.
I mean, that's what I choose to believe because the opposite is just too sad to think about. So I choose to believe that the woman is nuts and that the letter is fake. But I feel like in my heart of hearts, the letter is real.
No, because you want to know why? Like, even if you are a writer and you're purely doing these things for exercises, I don't know any mother who could really write and put into words like fictional stories about killing her children unless it's something she did.
You know, that's a good point.
Yeah, like the letter at the end was a little too convenient for me.
Yeah, but we're going to choose not to believe it.
No, I believe Lowen and Jeremy. But also, I was really shocked that the book is like an erotic novel, too. It was literally Danielle Steele.
Yeah, so that's the thing about books.
Yes!
Especially.
Yes! I'm like, each recommendation YA, I get from you guys.
No, it's like pornographic.
Yes!
And that's how you understand how, like, Bridgerton ends up with those scenes. Like, you can just imagine how they're written in the books.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was books shocking. Books are, like, super porny.
Because for the most part, I exclusively read celebrity memoir, and there's no sex in there. Like, one time Andy Cohen discussed how he had a threesome with, like, a couple. But
no, but he's not, like, telling you how the P goes into the V.
Yeah, no.
And all of the details.
Erotic.
Yes, it's very erotic. And Verity was super erotic, but when, like, now it's been like almost a year since I read it, and I forgot about those parts. But then when I was thinking about you reading it, I was like, oh, she's in for a roller coaster.
Oh, well, that's the other thing. It's like when I get recommendations from my sisters and then I'm reading about how she has to bite the headboard because she doesn't want to scream, like, I'm like, Margot read this and now I feel weird.
Also, the book that we're reading for the Redheads right now is so porny. Like,
well, I was going to read it, but we share a Kindle and I didn't want to fuck up like your page. So when you're done with it, I'll read it.
I'm going to be done with it today. But there's a lot of sex scenes. And so that'll be fun to talk about with the girls.
Yeah, no, with your sister. Have fun.
My little sister.
Oh, my God.
Wait, Claudia, our little sister is here. She loves you.
Oh, Gabby Barrett.
Emma Chamberlain.
Oh, we literally say that to everyone.
When we were like, our little sister's here. She loves you so much. And like Big Snitch comes in.
Yeah. Emma Chamberlain was ready to meet like a 6-year-old and in walks this like big 23-year-old dope. Like, Emma, I love you. And Emma was like, oh, I was expecting a little child.
A little sister.
Not a grown ass woman.
Yeah.
We have a great show for you guys. Lots of news.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. We have to talk about The Bachelor. I'm just trying to think if there was any other piece of my day that I just wanted to share with the group. But
no,
I don't think there is.
I literally watched no television yesterday. It was such a delight.
Except for The Bachelor.
Well, yeah. And I was dreading that. Like, I was thankful for my book signing because it went until like 8:15.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you how it was, if there's anything you want to share with the class.
It was so fun. It was basically just me and Taylor Strecker, like, shooting the shit for an hour. And the interface that we used was Crowdcast. And that's, if we ever do something live, it's so much fun because there's a chat. So it was basically, like, bringing me back to YouTube days. And I was recognizing so many names of, like, OG toasters. And it was just a delight. Like, it was so much fun. And we were talking about the book. And it was just great.
That's so fun. Maybe we should do one.
I know, because
a live show, a 30 Rock live show.
It's 30 Rock Live.
It's 30 Rock Live.
Because I have heard of people doing live things during quarantine, but them just being like so technologically frustrating. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to like sell tickets to something like the Toast Live and torture people. Like, I can't find it. But this one that I used last night
100%
was an excellent integrated interface.
No, I trust you when it comes to the integration of interfaces. There is nobody who knows an interfotch like you.
Let us know, you guys, if you want us to do like a Thursday night GNI, like let's get drunk. Maybe we'll...
That would be crazy.
I know. Should we do it?
Well, let's see. Let's see if there's any buzz. You know, okay. Let's let the people decide. Okay, well, I'm really excited for Snow Day Part 2 today. We should be back in studio tomorrow pending the snow and pending negative COVID results. So
yes, I'm going to go get tested later today.
Yeah, me too. So it'll be nice to see you tomorrow, hopefully. But I cannot lie. I have thoroughly enjoyed these 2 days. And today I'm like, I'm extra in the QE too. Like, I'm changing my sheets. It's one of those days. Yeah.
My sheets get changed tomorrow. But I agree. Like, something about being on a temporary lockdown makes you appreciate the lockdown days more. Whereas, like, when we were in lockdown here in New York for, like, 8 months, nothing was special because it was just, like, another day of nothing.
Yeah. No, I so agree. I've really appreciated this time that I've had. And also, like, when I did all of quarantine, I did not have Bruce on the loose.
Right.
And so to have yesterday, like, a full quarantine day with Bruno, he was just like so excited to have mom around all day. It was fantastic, and he loves the snow, and it was just a good day to beat Bruce. But
it's always a good day.
Speaking of, how's dude to do?
Perfect. He made a cameo on my live last night. He was like being a little camera shy. It was kind of cute. I literally had to chase him down the hall just to get it.
He's so shy.
But everyone like lost their minds when Theo showed up, and it was such a success. Like,
oh my God.
I think that we could successfully sell tickets to an hour live show of just Theo in his crate, and we could literally like break the website with how many people would want to watch.
I totally agree. Break the internet. I would have it streaming on all my devices.
TV, smartphone, iPad.
Oh, yeah, like a big do-to-do on my TV. What could be better?
Do-to-do.
Do-to-do. Okay, let's get into everything because there's much to discuss. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Well, I feel as though today's sponsor is so appropriate, seeing as how I woke up no less than 5 seconds ago, and the only thing I did was brush my teeth. And that's how I have all this energy and this excitement and this fresh breath, thanks to Brush, the best, most affordable electric toothbrush on the market. There are tons of electric toothbrushes on the market, but not all of them work that well, and some of them are crazy expensive, like over $200. And that's why Brush is here to solve all of your problems. It is the best electric toothbrush, I swear, that I've ever used, and it's the most reasonably priced. They just want you to have a perfect smile, because a healthy smile is a perfect smile. The brush has 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience, and the battery life lasts 4 weeks, and you get a magnetic charging stand in your compact travel case when you order the kit. They also offer a subscription program, so you never have to forget to change your brush head again, because Brush will ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head. That is, like, the best thing, that I actually only just recently started doing the subscription, because, you know, I forget. I'm like, has it been 6 months or 6 years since I changed my brush head? The world may never know. But now with the subscription service, the second it shows up at my door, I know it's just time to change it, which is much more hygienic. They also come in sleek designs. So the electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design, and it comes in trend-driven seasonal colors. So it looks great on your bathroom counter. I can attest to that.
If you want to get seasonal, maybe I should be switching mine up by the season.
Yeah. What season are we in right now? Maybe we need like a winter wonderland, like Snow White one.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look into that, even though I love my pink, but I never thought about changing with the seasons.
But you know, the accents in my bathroom, like the hardware is all rose gold. So like the pink kind of works aesthetically with my bathroom.
Yeah, I have like a lot of other pink products out, and it just like the Brush stands as like a beacon of light.
And you know what? It represents hope.
It really does. By the way, I just want to say, like, if you guys get nothing else from this show, like,
get ever, a brooch.
Like, and all we've given to you is just, like, to go and get a brooch. Like, we've done our jobs. The brooch is, I don't know what I was doing before brooch. Like, me my toothbrush neither. Situation was so sad and, like, disgusting. Falling on the floor.
And, like, just drugstore, like, which is so not good for the environment, by the way.
And I was just, like, always living from one toothbrush to the next.
Yes, you said it perfectly. Yes. So if you want to get 15% off your Brooch toothbrush kit and refill plan, use promo code TOAST at Brooch.com. That's 15% off using promo code TOAST at Brooch.com. Check it out. Brooch is the best. I feel like a lot of toasters have gotten their Brooches from us.
I hope so, because, like, their smile is gleaming. Yeah. Their skin is beaming. Okay, let's get into this news, because first up, Elizabeth Chambers addresses the Armie Hammer controversy. She is SHD. She is shocked. This is her words. Shocked, heartbroken, and devastated. Obviously, the real toasters were like, okay, so she's SHD. That sounds bad.
That sounds bad.
Okay, so she took to Instagram. She posted a nice photo of a beach saying, "For weeks, I've been trying to process everything that has transpired. I am shocked, heartbroken, and devastated. Heartbreak aside, I am listening and will continue to listen and educate myself on these delicate matters. I didn't realize how much I didn't know. I support any victim of assault or abuse and urge anyone who has experienced this pain to seek the help she or he needs to heal. At this time, I will not be commenting further on this matter."
I mean, it's, you know, it's wonderful to hear that. I feel like, you know, since they have children together, she very well could have not said anything, or there's been many instances where wives and ex-wives have stood by the man. And I don't know, I just feel like this is a great moment for women, and it cannot be easy. There are a lot of people I don't want to be this week. Armie Hammer is one of them, and also Elizabeth Chambers. Like, it's a really, really tough position to be in, to know that the man that you were married to for 10 years, like, is a legitimate sociopath. So I thought this was a very well said statement. I think a lot of people have been, like, looking at her Instagram, looking to see if she's gonna speak out. And now that she has, I can respect her privacy. Of course, her kids are her number one priority, but I just think it's really cool of her to not, you know, stand by him when other women might, and I could understand it, you know?
Yeah, but also I think due to the fact that they have children, it's like there probably is a lot more that she wants to say, but this is the father of her kids, and one day they will see this, and it's always like keeping that in mind. So I do think she definitely took the high road. I think, you know, I was reading the comments on our Instagram, like, people do want to know more from her, but I just don't think we're going to get that, and I don't think that we need to. Like, honestly, it's not about her. Right. It's about him.
But and so that's true.
I think that, like, focusing on, like, what does she say? What does she think? It's, like, it takes away from, you know, it makes it more, you know, gossipy, where it's, like, no, this man is a cannibal. Let's talk about the facts.
That's the thing. It's, like, so he's obviously had this cannibal fetish for, people are coming out, for years. And he was married to someone for years. And I'm curious if he exhibited any cannibal-like qualities in the marriage.
Right. I think that's what people do want to know.
Was it a side hustle, or was it his full persona?
I think that's what people want to know. I think she's made it clear she's not going to let us know.
Got it.
But did you see that one of the women who came forward about her time spent with him, Paige Lorenz, was on Sophia with an F podcast?
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, and it seems like she's sharing her experience. I watched a bunch of the clips, and it seems really intense, but super interesting and brave of her to just come out with it.
Yeah. And you know what's so weird about this whole thing is that there really hasn't been any formal statement or response from Armie Hammer or his camp.
Well, there was that one
short one, like, talking about social media lies, but it's very clearly not social media lies.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get another one. Maybe in a few years, you know, he'll do an article, much like this next person who is not a cannibal, but she is coming back into the spotlight after some years being low-key.
Catherine
Angelina
Heigl?
Jolie.
Oh.
No. Angelina Jolie offers rare details about her really hard past few years and healing her family. So Angelina Jolie is on the cover of British Vogue this month.
Looking and so sickening.
Looking like the Snatchler.
Yeah, just so elegant, so refined, so rich. Like, everything. I saw these photos on Instagram, and I thought that it was, like, the most well-done photo shoot of all time.
Yeah, I mean, when it's her, it's always the most well-done photo shoot.
It's not hard, you know?
No. But she has kept her held high as she privately struggled with the fallout of her divorce. But now the actress candidly admits to British Vogue that the past few years have been, quote, really hard for her and their six children. At one point in the interview, she's asked, do you feel as if you're at a happy stage in your life? To which she responds, I don't know. I've been focusing on healing our family. It's slowly coming back, like the ice melting and the blood returning to my body. And though the 45-year-old is unsure about her happiness at this time, she expresses excitement for her 50s, saying, I feel that I'm going to hit my stride in my 50s.
Yeah, she's been very, very quiet. Even before the divorce, like, she was kind of MIA. And then I think things went so poorly in the divorce. And I remember there being articles about how Hollywood was, like, really taking Brad Pitt's side. And I think she was really villainized, like, by people around her and the media. And that couldn't have been easy on top of dealing with a divorce from the most handsome man in the world.
Well, I feel like the way that I remember it is, like, Hollywood people, like, people in Hollywood who are, like, their friends and knew them took Brad's side. But I do feel like the media took her side.
Got it.
Because Brad doesn't really talk to the media. And I feel like she, you know, she offers these glimpses here and there. And so I do think people are split and people don't know what to make of the situation. And I feel like even in this article, she talks about, you know, how leaving or ending the marriage was the best thing for the kids. As if, you know, it was on Brad. So I do feel like there's still, like, a lot of contention between them. And well, people don't know how to feel about their divorce because, like, at one point they were America's sweethearts.
Right.
And now it's like, okay, well, one of them wasn't sweet. Which one?
Well, the thing is that Brad has been very open about, you know, he's now sober for the last few years and how, like, there was an incident where, like, his drinking really put the kids in a bad spot. They had to land the plane somewhere. Like,
yeah.
So I think he's not been shy about, like, him, you know, it takes two people to break up a marriage, but he's been very vocal about, like, how his part in it and how getting sober was the best thing for him. But I agree. But at the end of the day, like, yes, they were America's sweetheart couple and, like, now we don't know what to do. But also in Hollywood terms, they are, like, the most successful marriage to ever exist. Six kids in, like, 10 years.
Explain. Yeah.
In Hollywood terms, like, I don't know.
I don't know to ever exist. Like, I could give you a few better ones, but
yeah, but you know
they
what were, I mean.
They had success as a marriage. Like, they were together for a long time and they have a big family.
Right. Like, that's it. A successful marriage. And I can live with that. And for a while, I really shipped them. Like, I remember, like, when I was in high school and Mr. and Mrs. Smith came out and then they, like, were rumored to be dating and then they were dating and then they got married. Like, I was fully aboard the ship the whole time.
No, me too. And when it came out of seemingly nowhere that they were getting divorced, like, I definitely struggled with understanding how that could be. And now I feel like I've gotten to an okay place, but it really just, my okay place has just turned into indifference towards both of them.
Yes. Indifference 100%. Like, in terms of, I don't really care. Like, when that picture went viral of Brad Pitt at the Oscars, like, grabbing Jennifer Aniston, and literally every magazine made it a meme about, like, women empowerment when it was literally just a photo. Like, don't ever chase a man who doesn't chase you. Like, people took it way fucking out of context. But I didn't feel a thing. Like, I didn't feel a thing.
Yeah, I don't feel a thing when it comes to his romantic life, I think, at this point.
You know, I'm only interested in what movies he's, you know, producing and playing in because I enjoy a film starring Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, I would think that too, but then I saw Ad Astra and it wasn't it.
Who was in that one? Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt. It is like he went into space. And I should have just, like, no, I saw it. I would never have seen it if not for him, because, like, I don't watch space movies. But I just thought, like, this man knows what he's doing, like, it's gonna be a space movie that changes my life. And
you,
it was
trust
nothing of the
him.
Sort. I trusted.
Yeah.
Now,
what is your favorite Brad Pitt movie?
Ooh, there are so many. Shall we go to our favorite website, IMDb?
I want to say mine is Moneyball.
Yeah, that one does come to mind first.
Is he Benjamin Button? Yeah.
He's Benjamin Button, which I've never seen.
What?
I know.
Oh my God, there's a redhead in it. She's the star.
Okay, I know. I have to watch it. Okay, there's so many good ones. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, obviously great. Right. Inglourious Basterds.
Oh,
Oceans.
He was amazing in Inglourious Basterds.
He was amazing in Inglourious Basterds, I agree. Ocean's 11 and, you know, the other
Ocean's
movies. Troy. Oh, we've done this before because he's in a movie called Snatch, which always just sends me.
Oh, isn't he also in World War Z?
Yes, he is. Have you seen that?
No, I just remember, like, thinking about seeing it just because Brad Pitt was in it.
He's in this movie called Fury, which is a war movie. Which I actually saw, and I walked out because I was so bored and confused. Yeah.
What movies have you walked out of?
I walked out. I would have not remembered that one. I would have forgotten that I saw it, but it's just here. You know which one? The most recent was Night School, remember? With Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. And I was like so excited to see it. And it was so bad. And I was just like, I have to go home.
I walked out of The Revenant, which was the Leonardo DiCaprio movie starring the bear. It was so atrocious. I walked out of Boss Baby, which I was really upset about because I thought I would love it. And the cartoon was just like a little too stupid for me. And then I also walked out of Think Like a Man 2, which was really disappointing because I was a huge Think Like a Man 1 fan. And then when the second one came out.
But I also feel like, I feel like sometimes when you go to see a movie, like you also have to be like, your mind needs to be like ready to immerse yourself. And sometimes you're just like in walkout mode.
No, and sometimes that's so true. Like me walking out of a movie is actually not reflective of the movie. It's reflective of my state of mind. Like I could actually sit down and watch Boss Baby or The Revenant. I walked out because it was bad. Like I was ready for a movie, but I could watch Think Like a Man 2 and I would probably love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you probably just like weren't in the right headspace to be consuming a movie.
You are 100% correct, my friend. 100%.
Also, two more great movies that he was in. 12 Years a Slave. It was so good.
Oh, my God. That is the best movie. Like, so difficult to watch. I watched it in college. It's incredible.
Incredible. And The Big Short, which we were talking about last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was so good in that movie. And also, I don't know why I watched this movie. I watched it maybe a year ago. Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
It was good, but weird. He's in it, and he's really young. It's from 2008, I guess.
Speaking of The Big Short, is today's story about Noah Centineo a story? Is it?
Of course, yes. Okay. Because we were talking about it, right. And now we'll be talking about it. He's in a lot of other movies that I haven't seen, but I'm sure I'm, like, disgracing his name by not mentioning them.
Yes, of course.
And those are the big ones. I need to watch this movie, Snatch. I feel like I can relate to it.
I think you can, too.
And, of course, Moneyball, which is a great movie, and if you've never seen it, you should watch it.
One of my favorites.
And then Troy. That's probably the ones I'm disgracing myself with. Okay, our next story is really sad. Dustin Diamond has died at age 44 after a battle with cancer. Dustin Diamond, best known for playing Screech on Saved by the Bell, died on Monday morning after a battle with cancer. His rep confirmed the news to People in a statement saying, quote, "We are saddened to confirm of Dustin Diamond's passing on Monday, February 1st, due to carcinoma. He was diagnosed with this brutal, relentless form of malignant cancer only 3 weeks ago. Wow. In that time, it managed to spread rapidly through his system. The only mercy it exhibited was its sharp and swift execution. Oof. Dustin did not suffer. He did not have to lie submerged in pain. For that, we are grateful."
Oh my God, what a terror. I read that he passed away, but I didn't know what type of cancer it was. And that sounds horrible. And this is so sad. I actually never watched Saved by the Bell growing up, but I feel like if you did, this is like an integral part of your childhood. And like, and Screech was obviously like the only character who I thought was funny. Only episodes I've seen, like he was the only one worth watching. And that's really, really sad.
Yeah. Extremely sad. I didn't realize the extent of the illness.
Yeah.
Just like so brutal.
Yeah. Was he in the reboot, the new Saved by the Bell reboot?
I wouldn't know. I'm the wrong person to ask, you know?
Yeah.
But I wonder if they will do any sort of tribute. I believe that they probably would.
I think they would too, hopefully. I mean, he was like an iconic television character, and I think a lot of people are going to be taking this really hard. So Ben loves Saved by the Bell, and he was like so upset last night. Because Screech is like, the whole show was centered around Screech. He's like the funny, nice guy. And it's really sad for someone to die so tragically, so young. So we're sending our thoughts and prayers to his family and to all the Saved by the Bells fans.
Yes. But also we take solace in knowing that he's in a better place now.
Yeah. And that he didn't suffer.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay. Well, our next story is a little TV news.
And our next story is also brought to you by Honey. We all shop online, and we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that sell technology and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. So imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite websites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find at that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, your price will drop. So I have saved money on Honey from makeup to clothing to technology, like literally any category, you name it. I've saved, like, on an order of $200, I've saved like $30, which is significant.
Yeah. And there are a few websites that I shop on where it's like, I know Honey like works overtime here.
Yeah.
And I have saved so much on, and you like, can shoes, shop at purses. You can shop at Peace, and like Honey lets you know. And also Honey lets you know if you have the best price available. So right. Like Honey never stops working for you. I don't know where I would be without Honey. I would definitely be a more like regretful shopper.
Yeah. If you don't already have Honey, you are straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and it installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting our podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney.com/toast. You download the free browser extension and you start saving yourself money and peace of mind.
Love it. Really love it. Get money with Honey. Okay, next story is really exciting. Wakanda Forever, a Black Panther spinoff series, is planned at Disney Plus.
Oh.
Black Panther television series is in the works at Disney Plus from the movie's writer and director, Ryan Coogler, according to The Wrap. A spinoff of the 2018 blockbuster hit that raked in more than $1.3 billion, the TV series will center on the Kingdom of Wakanda, the fictional nation in the heart of Africa. It has not been announced whether it will focus on characters from the movies or if it will follow new characters. The series is reportedly among several projects in the works under Coogler's new five-year deal with Disney. Under the agreement, his company, Proximity Media, will also develop projects with other networks under the Disney umbrella, including Hulu, Freeform, and ABC.
Cool. I mean, I think this is fabulous. One, because we love a successful franchise, so let's just franchise it some more. But also, part of the reason why Black Panther was so successful is because it was the first time in like comic book superhero movies that there was real representation for the Black community. And so now it's like, it shouldn't only be movies, it should be TV shows too. So I just think this is great for the kids. This is great for everyone. It's going to be great content. Disney Plus cannot put out a bad television show, even if they tried their hardest.
That's very true. And I actually feel like there's so much to work with. Like, they're doing a Black Panther sequel that's centering around T'Challa's sister, but there are so many other characters in the Wakanda world that could make for a wonderful TV show. So I feel like there's so much there and it's going to be great.
Right. So Chadwick Boseman will not be in the second movie.
He will not.
But it'll be centered around his sister. Is that what you said?
T'Challa's sister, Shuri. Yeah.
And she was she was really techie, right?
Yeah, no, she was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good. I like that.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So that's very exciting little programming news. And our fifth and final story is some more programming news, because Noah Centineo is set to star in a new Netflix movie about the GameStop stock saga.
Man, you know, the devil works hard, but Hollywood works faster.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. But first, I want to read the details just in case there's something that's going to answer one of my questions. The 24-year-old actor is set to star in an upcoming Netflix movie focused on the surge in GameStop stock, People confirmed. Oscar-winning screenwriter Mark Boal, who wrote The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty, will write the screenplay, according to Deadline. The film will center on the ongoing battle between hedge funds and the amateur Reddit traders who caused GameStop stock to skyrocket to more than 1,700% last week through investing apps like Robinhood. Last month, Redditors encouraged each other to buy the stock in the beloved video game store, which drove up the price of the company's stock. Okay, so here's my questions. Like, how is this script already being written when the story is not over? Right. How are you going to end the movie? Is that something that's like ongoing? You know, they'll start filming once they have an end to their story. I just feel like this is so premature. Also, who is Noah Centineo going to play? I feel like he's going to play like the number one Redditor. Reddit trader.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what I think, I agree. Like, it's weird to have a synopsis for a movie when the actual real life events haven't even unfolded yet. But you never know what Hollywood does. I feel like they could focus on like the beginning part of this saga, where like the movie ends right as they figure it out and they like execute their plan.
Okay, but like in a movie like this, because it's reminding me of The Big Short, it's like it ends and then there's like text on screen, you know, because it's based on a true story and it's premium. And you need like years worth of fallout to know what to do with the text on screen.
Like what if somebody goes to jail from this whole Robin Hood thing? That's what people are saying.
Right. Right. What if somebody becomes a billionaire? Like, what if you know, eventually it goes all the way down and everyone's back where they started? Like, I just feel, as much as I'm excited for this movie, like, it needs a little more time.
It's premature.
To play out.
But it does take, like, 2 to 3 years to make a movie.
Yeah. But, like, they're going to be filming the movie while the script isn't done? No.
Yeah, no. Maybe they just, like, wanted to get the rights to it, because this is, like, a once-in-a-lifetime piece of news, and it's perfect for a movie. So maybe whoever is, like, filming it just wanted to get the rights to it, and maybe they won't start filming it for a few years.
Yeah, or maybe he's going to play Vlad, the Robin Hood guy, and the story will be told from, like, Robin Hood's perspective of, like, the clusterfuck that went down in their offices on the day that they realized that the system,
I mean,
had been figured out.
That would be interesting, but I'm not really interested in hearing, like, you know, the fancy Wall Street people side of it. Like, I want to hear, like, how, like, all these individual regular people figured this out and came together. Like, to me, that's more interesting than, like, people on Wall Street. Like, they do this every day for work. They're not interesting.
Yeah, 100%. But it will just be, I wonder, like, which Redditors they would focus on, because it's, like, millions of people, you know? So
right.
How do you decide, like, which stories to tell?
There's a lot of research to do here for this
role. Also, who's going to play Dave Portnoy?
Oh, I think that it
he
should
is
be.
He's such an instrumental figure in
this
story.
No, you're right. He has to, you're right, like, someone has to play him. Let's think. Like,
you know, wait, I know who should play him. I just don't know the actor's name. He's in the show Queen of the South.
I've never seen it. It could be, like, Ben Affleck.
But maybe this guy has been in other stuff. Okay, his name is Ryan Onan.
Let me look.
Has he been in anything else?
Ryan Onan.
I don't know why he just gives me, like, Dave
Portnoy.
Oh,
you know what?
Vibes.
I mean, I've never seen this man in my life. But yeah. No, for sure.
Right?
No, this is it. You found it. Or honestly, like, Paul Rudd.
Oh, I guess, but, like,
but I think
he just doesn't have the right, he doesn't have the right energy.
You know, if in order to successfully play Dave Portnoy, you have to have that chaotic energy we're always talking about. One that, yeah. I like that Claire Crawley definitely has, you know, found herself.
Yeah, or maybe they could tap Rachel Ray for the role.
Yes! Oh my god, perfect. She has the exact type of chaotic energy we're looking for.
Rachel Ray as Davida Portnoy.
Stop. Oh my god, that's so funny.
Anyways,
so that's,
I mean, obviously I look forward to seeing this movie. I will be seeing this movie. I hope that the movie, like, well, one, I hope the movie takes the right side and doesn't,
yeah,
try to, like, make us sympathize with any villains. And I also hope that it's good.
Yeah, me too. Let's dive into The Bachelor, because it was, like, the most justice-serving episode. I was living for it.
It was almost all the way to justice.
Almost.
It wasn't 100% just.
It was 80% just.
Yeah, there was some justice being served, but I also was feeling conflicted. So let's take it from the top, because Matt came into the rose ceremony.
Let's take it from the top, where our Bachelor recap segment is brought to you by Love Book Online. Valentine's Day is coming up, and do you smell that, Jackie? Love is in the air. Love Book is a personalized gift that helps people express feelings that might be difficult to say out loud. Most customers use a Love Book to revisit their fondest memories or to list the reasons why they love someone. Love Books are completely customizable, and people can use them however they like. Users use Lovebook to create characters that look just like themselves and the recipient, with all the features that make them unique. They can even choose their favorite hairstyles and outfits. So while customers have the option to personalize every page as much as they like, there's also an express option where you can create a complete book in just a few minutes. Lovebooks are the perfect gift for any occasion, but especially for anniversaries, birthdays, and of course, Valentine's Day. So if you're looking for a gift for someone in your life who, like, you know, material items is just not going to cut it, and you really want to express to them how much you love them, I think this is so sweet. I got Ben a Love Book last year, and it's, like, our favorite thing to look at, you know, every couple weeks. It's so sentimental. It's so sweet. And I think that if you're looking for a gift for someone special in your life this Valentine's Day, check out Love Book. Visit lovebookonline.com/toast to receive a special 20% discount for our listeners. Again, that's lovebookonline.com/toast. And that's a link you have to use to get the special 20% discount, lovebookonline.com/toast.
Love Book is the perfect sponsor for this Bachelor segment,
right?
Because love was in the air. Or
love
was
in
it?
The air,
I'm so confused.
And as was justice. I am confused too, but I feel like for the first time after watching last night's episode, I can start to discern when Matt is being polite and when he has a real connection.
Yes, but it does feel like on every single one-on-one date, like, the girl is the winner.
Yes, but I do think he's probably being very meticulous with who he gives a one-on-one to, and I don't think that anyone who's getting a one-on-one, like, is not top, you know, five material.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's get into it, because we started with the rose ceremony, and Matt comes in, you know, ready to serve up some justice, and finally he is taking matters into his hands, and I thought that his little speech was good, because he got the point across, like, bullying will not be stood for here, and finally the girls, like, were able to look at themselves and be like, oh my god, we've been such assholes.
No, and then, like, everyone scrambling and apologizing just so, like, they don't get in trouble with Matt was the funniest thing ever. And I really appreciated how the new girls were like, we know you're only apologizing because, like, Matt brought it up. Like, you're not actually sorry. But it was, like, literally a sorry fest from, like, the most guilty girls. Like, MJ, Serena, Serena P. C. No, I think it's
Serena C. Okay.
Serena C, MJ, Anna, and Victoria. Like, just trying to, like, do PR for themselves, and it was hysterical to watch. And as much as I was so happy that he sent Anna home, because in no uncertain terms, like, what Anna said and did to Brittany was unexcusable, unforgivable, I do wish she had the same sort of, like, swift energy with the other girls. Like, I think they all, MJ and Victoria, like, deserve to go home and be embarrassed just as much as Victoria. I mean, just as much as, yeah, Anna.
I agree. I think it was hard for him to sift through all the rumors, and I, it was good of him to, like, take a hard stance against the bullying, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I did feel a little bit for Anna when she realized that she was so wrong. She was so sorry and so sad, and I don't think she should have stayed because, you know, we can forgive you, but, like, you know, there are consequences. There are consequences, and, like, no, you're not going to stay here when you've started a rumor about another girl in the house. But you could tell she was genuinely mortified with herself and so sorry, and, like, she clearly lost herself in this process.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't know if it was just me. I'm like, but I did feel bad for her, like, as she was leaving, even though, like, I was so mad at her last week and what she did was so atrociously disgusting.
She was so mad at herself.
Yeah, but, like, you know, I had a hard time.
And then also a part of me after reading Dylan Barber's tweets, the cynical part of me was like,
yes,
was like, did production hear that she heard this rumor and forced her to say it? Like, or coerced her, not forced, they're not so heavy handed, coerced her into saying it, like, made her feel like it was the right thing to do. And then she realized that she got played. I don't know.
After discussing yesterday on the show, Dylan Barber's, like, Q&A on Twitter, I watched the episode through a whole new lens, and it's just really hard for me because I get so involved and, like, I get all these, like, angry feelings. And then, like, no, Dylan's right. Like, there is a level of manipulation to the whole thing. So it's like, who do we be mad at?
Yeah. And I feel like every, you know, most Bachelor watchers know that there is production that goes on behind the scenes. But I just sort of assume that over the years they've let up on some of those old school ways of producing television just because, you know, the times have changed. But to hear him say that, just now I'm watching it as if those people are still doing all of those things. And it makes you just feel a little bit less hard on the girls.
No, you're 100% right. But if we're watching it through the lens of just regular Bachelor, I could not stand MJ last night. Like, her just completely gaslighting everyone, like, saying she had no part of the divisiveness in the house when she was literally, like, the captain.
And no,
she was making such a bad argument. I lead by example and I preach harmony.
No, but, like, she just, like, looked up some quotes and just keeps reiterating them and just hopes if she says them enough that that's true. You lead by example. By the way, yeah, no, you do lead by example by being a mean girl. You have led by that example.
No, and, like, I've always,
what are you saying?
Like,
it's just words that don't mean anything.
And this entire, like, season thus far, I've really felt like she was part of, if not, like, the core of this, like, weird vibe in the house that's really divisive and the new girls are put in a bad spot. And she's definitely a mean girl. Like, there's no way around it.
Oh, I feel like it's episode one. I assumed she was just going to be like a cool girl in the house. And I feel like her meanness is extremely stealth. And I think that she's shocked that she's even being called out for it.
Yeah, I mean, also she showed up to the rose ceremony looking so sickening. I love her hair. I could never pull it off. But I just think she has such great energy and looks wise. And her black blazer and her hair, like, she's very intimidating. And I thought Jasenia really held her own. Because Jasenia definitely feels like a quiet, reserved girl.
I love Jasenia. She completely gave it to her. Like, there really was, there's not anyone better who could have, like, stood up to her. I was only even hoping that Jasenia, like, would not have answered her.
Yes, me too. Because, like, me too.
Because she was being so, like, irrational that just to like answer her with silence would have been hysterical. But Jesenia is like, I have no doubt that
she can handle it.
That she can handle it, that justice will be served up next week, and that Jesenia is our queen.
You know, like, they were talking in circles, and MJ was doing everything she could to, like, gaslight the fuck out of Jesenia, but Jesenia was like, I am not flammable. You cannot gaslight me.
No, Jesenia said, I am not flammable.
But before that, we had two one-on-ones, Kit and Rachel.
Because you know what? Wait, sorry. I just want to go back to the two-on-one. It's the worst when, like, there's an obvious villain in the house, but then, like, someone is put up to task with them who's, like, not up for the challenge.
It's so frustrating.
And you're, like, it's, like, pulling teeth, like, wanting them to say the right things. And it's, like, I don't feel that way with Jesenia in the room. Like, she is going to take care of business.
She is our leader, and she is leading by example.
Yeah. No, but there's just usually in the two-on-one, there's the villain and then someone who's, like, trying to stand up to them, but, like, is having a hard time.
It's too weak.
Yeah, I don't, like, it's mean to say, but yeah.
No, but you're right. Like, they just can't finish the task.
Yeah, because also, like, the villain is so strong and villainous.
Yeah. Let's talk about the both of the one-on-ones, because Rachel and Kit, every season there is, at least on The Bachelor, there's, like, that shopping date. And honestly, like, it never fails to make me cringe. Like, it's just so awkward.
I completely agree. And I was seeing, like, all of these memes, like, the shopping date is the best date. And it's like, yeah, because you walk away with clothes, even if you don't land the man in the end. But it's like, what you have to go through to get all those clothes.
It's just, like, weird to feel like, because first of all, Matt is not paying for it. But you're under this guise that, like, this person's buying you the clothes when it's just a part of the experience, even though he was the one who chose you for that experience. So in a way, he's indirectly buying you the things. But it just feels like, in a sense, like, charity.
No, for me, that's not how it feels. Like, if it's the weirdest feeling to keep coming out of the dressing room and, like, have to spin and, like, sound so excited about, like, dresses, and, like, he has to be excited and she has to be excited. And it's like, how many times are they going to say the same thing? And it's like, to me, like, my awkwardness, I would never be able to, they would say, you know what? We're not giving you the clothes. Like,
you know, and it's like, I cannot receive a compliment. Someone's like, I like your shirt. I'm like, ugh, I'm a fat, disgusting beast. So, like, a whole date of, like, putting dresses.
Yeah, no, I would have walked out. He'd been like, that's beautiful. I'm like, really?
Really? You see my love handles? Like, I just would not be able to accept the compliments.
It's like that scene in White Girls.
Yeah, no, literally. Yeah. So
that would be me.
But it's worth mentioning that whoever gets that date is usually, like, a contender. Like, Becca Kufrin got it, I remember. So it's a really big deal. And I think for the first time, I was like, I saw a difference in how Matt interacted with some of the other girls versus how he interacted with Rachel. Of course, he told her he was falling in love with her. But I think that she definitely goes really, really far, because I was just getting the vibe that, like, he liked her.
Yeah, he is super into her and she is very into him. And I felt like they have a very good connection and she will be around for a very long time.
Yeah. And then the other one-on-one was with Kit, and I really like her, but, like, it was like, you know, poor little rich girl, like, you know, growing up, like, my mom was so successful and, like, it was, like, hard for me. And it's like, I'm sure, I'm not downplaying her trauma. Like, just because you're, you know, successful, like, everyone has their own shit. Like, I really believe that. But, like, to go on TV, like, in this climate, like, it was just, like, a little tone deaf. Like, no. And it's like, it was hard, like, for me. Like, it was like, poor little rich girl, my tiny violin is playing for you. It was just, like, a little out of touch. But that's, I think, why we love Kit, right?
Yeah, it was a little out of touch, but I think that's, like, who she is. Yeah. And I still think she's super cute. And Matt likes her. And Matt likes her, but I do think it's going to end on, like, a friend note, where it's like, I don't see us getting past friendship. And I think when they both get back to the city, like, we'll be seeing them hanging out. Yeah. But I feel like they're just, like, good friends who are like, oh, if we met in the real world, like, we would hang out and be friends. So
yeah, that's true.
I think that's, a lot of people were expecting him to send her home last night, which I actually could have seen too, where, like, if they couldn't get past this friend connection. But I think it's still early enough in the season where he's keeping his friends around.
Yeah.
He's keeping his friends close and his enemies closer.
Another thing. So some of the other girls who I feel like stand out, they didn't get a one-on-one, but who I still feel like are, you know, top tier in the running. Brie still.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea.
But she's falling into that spot of, like, she got the first one-on-one, came out so strong, like, strongest connection, and now she's falling behind. That always happens to the first date. That's what I was worried was going to happen, just because, like, he gets busy. He's busy.
No, I know, but, like, I believe in their love. Like, I really, really do. I really want Brie to win. Like, I think she's perfect.
I know. I just feel like it hasn't, the connection's not sustaining. And maybe they're hanging out and talking and we're not seeing it, right. But I just feel like he's been distracted with other women and like has forgotten about his amazing time with Brie.
What's the name of the girl who was the new, she just came last week. She's a teacher and we loved her.
Michelle.
Loved her this week. I thought like, it's, you don't even realize how like, okay, group dates obviously suck, but like Michelle's only been on a one-on-one. So like she's in the worst position ever. Like it can only go down from here for her. But I think that she is top four material as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of girls who I think I could see him ending up with, which is what's making it a good season.
Yeah.
But I don't know who it's going to be. I really don't.
The only thing that left me frustrated from the episode last night was that, like, it was kind of this, you know, witch hunt for all the bullies, like, to be exposed. And the only girl who I felt like who got away with her bulliness was Serena. Not Serena who had the one-on-one who we love. The other Serena. I believe it's Serena C.
Yes, I feel like, but then I also, if we're going to start to go into like people who laughed at the jokes and didn't stand up.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying she was like really like egging people on. She was the weakest link of the bullies, but that still is a bully.
Yeah, but I feel like you could put Kit in that category too.
Well, yeah, you could.
Yeah, but I also feel like if we saw all the footage, I feel like there's so much more. And so they are making Anna, Victoria, and now MJ, like, the three main characters. And I feel like that's maybe how it went down, like, that they were the big three. I don't know, but I don't trust anything. But I also agree, you can't send the whole house home because they were all fucking mean.
Yeah, they were all fucking mean.
They were all laughing, and only one person stood up for them, and that's Katie. And now everyone wants to pretend like, oh, we weren't mean to the new girls.
Yeah, well,
but it's
also,
like, but were you nice?
I was watching with Ben and like he was like fully watching and he was like, Katie's a snitch. Like he was not into Katie snitching.
What?
And I totally disagreed. I'm like, no, sometimes a snitch is necessary.
Yeah, no, I completely disagree. He obviously hasn't seen every episode and knows what went down. But I do feel like Katie made her big stand last week. And now, where is she, you know?
Well,
it looks like next week she's fighting with someone else.
Well, also, nobody knew that it was her who snitched until fucking Matt accidentally dropped it. Did you notice that?
No.
When he pulled Victoria aside, was it Victoria or MJ? One of them. When he pulled them aside and he was like, and then Katie told me all this stuff about what was going on in the house. And the person's eyebrows like flicker. And now that's how it's going to come out. Like Matt needed to protect the snitch and he did not. And I was mad at him for that.
Damn. Well, you know what? I feel like this is her, like, obviously I don't think she's going to be winning. I feel like this is her role for the season as just like the justice seeker.
Yeah.
And she should be proud of herself because she did the right thing. Yeah.
And she's like being hailed the hero of the season now. She's like the only one with a good head on her shoulders who spoke up when like a lot of the girls were being bullies. And if that's the legacy she leaves on the show, she should be very proud of that. I agree.
Yeah. And I hope she brings that like that kind justice seeking energy to Paradise.
Yes.
And, you know, is letting everyone know who's being a mean girl.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. So it was actually a pretty good episode.
It was. I just, yeah, the girl drama is actually, like, a good this season.
But it gets so boring. Like, the first 30 minutes, I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there's, like, an hour lag where I'm like, I literally would rather be doing anything else but watching the show. And then the last 30 minutes pick up again.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's our show. Anything else you
want
to drop?
We'll see you next week on The Bachelor. No, just going to get on with my productive day. I intend on Pelotoning again and sort of, you know, getting back to my high outputs because yesterday was a disgrace, but I did it. And that's all you, like, I'm proud of myself for getting back on. That's the hardest thing to do.
You're right. And you did that.
And I did that. So I'm excited to get back on today, make it a little fun, maybe listen to Morgan Wallen on a scenic ride, and just have another wonderful day, snow day in the queue.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you have an amazing day, you guys. Stay productive, stay warm, and stay cool. Bye.
Love you. Bye.